How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, doing seasonal material on time. You know who booked this. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am not the one who booked this. Ray Stakanis.
Seasonally on time, but late for our normal recording time.
I mean, once you factor in daylight savings time, it totally worked.
Good points.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
Wait, did I say my name? But Gina's really in a hurry to get out of here tonight, you guys. This is I'm going to pull back the curtain slightly.
I think that's not pulling back the curtain. I think everyone who's listened to this show for the past 900 years knows that I'm consistently in a hurry.
You know, we don't talk about that enough. This show, and you know, you nailed it, 900th year anniversary of Knowing is Half the Podcast. Congratulations, everybody. We made it.
What did you all get us?
Yeah. What do you get someone for a 900th anniversary?
I think that's the Bones anniversary.
I'm pretty sure it's an island. I think someone needs to buy us an island so we can go podcast in the tropics.
You guys can barely make it to make it on time when we're Zooming. I can only imagine if you had to make it to an island.
No, but we live on the island. That's the point. Like, we live there. It's like a compound on an island.
I would definitely find a way to be late to that.
Oh, I guarantee it. Yes.
There were coconuts, and there was this one coconut that looked kind of like a face. So I made a sex doll out of the coconut. I was delayed for 6 days.
For those of you in the future who are working on an AI to keep this show going for 900 years, make sure to keep it realistic. Robert Clark Chan will be always late to when, even as an algorithm, he will be late to showing up.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I was promised that it would be like the end of the movie AI, where if someone has a clipping of our hair, they can bring us back, but only for 24 hours. And whoever is bringing us back for those 24 hours is making us podcast for those 24 hours.
No, that sounds legit.
I mean, this all holds up.
In which case, we would definitely have to be on Gina's schedule and just like, bang, 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 let's get this thing done.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the more I think it's just whoever brought us back is forcing us to podcast until we get tired and die at the end of that day.
You know, there's a Stephen King short story here somewhere. I have no mouth that I must podcast.
Oh, God.
Harlan Ellison, sir.
Look, I know who wrote Stephen King's novels.
Do podcasters dream of electric sheep podcasts?
Electric Boogaloo? Because I sure do.
Well, we've had a lot of fun here, but there's a lesson to be learned today, kids.
there is.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I feel very strongly that there was intended to be a lesson in this cartoon that we watched.
I don't know.
I couldn't for the life of me figure out what it was.
Oh my God. Are you guys telling me you didn't like this?
oh boy. Oh, it's going to be one of those episodes, huh?
Wait, no. Here's the thing. This is peak 70s weirdness. How do you not like peak 70s weirdness?
Okay, listen. Yes, go ahead. Sorry, Chan.
Okay. I will start off by saying this is heavy metal without the boobs or the blood.
Thank you. So, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So it's still pretty cool is what you're saying.
No.
You know what? This is, you guys are just doing this to be butts.
I've never had an opinion on here that was intended purely for buttery.
I disagree. I think, here's the thing. There have been many times where you guys have hated something, and then as we've gone through it and I pointed out all the good stuff about it, it grew on you. And I think that your default is just to hate it and not really think about it. Oh, and I think that's evidenced by the fact that you're usually watching this like 10 minutes before we actually podcast.
How dare you, first off?
Look, I listened to it this afternoon, so I've had time to marinate in this, to sit in it, to think, to get into a lotus position and turn my inward eye towards it. And if you can find a single GD thing in this cartoon that made me laugh, or there's one redeeming quality, and we'll get to it eventually. But other than that, man, this was a big old waste of time.
I don't think I fully agree with that, Robert Clark Chan. I'm not full Gina here. Okay. That being said, I'm willing to talk about. First off, it's called Intergalactic Thanksgiving for our friends at Nelvana from 1979. It very much has a friendlier heavy metal vibe to it for. Sure. For sure. And I don't think it was bad. I don't know what to make of it. I was really hoping that TV's Gina Ippolito could help me understand maybe some nuance to it here.
Wait, I mean, the alternate title, because the main title is Intergalactic Thanksgiving, the alt title is Please Don't Eat the Planet. So I think if you need me to explain the message of this, then you are dumber than a 7-year-old was in 1979 Canada.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, the environmental message is so old. I mean, you know, obviously, nearly 50 years gone now, that it feels almost like a different beast entirely.
I mean, this is essentially the weird 70s Canadian, what's that little Dr. Seuss thing?
The Lorax?
Yeah, the Lorax. This is the weird, drugged out 70s Canadian version of the Lorax.
Okay.
Are you on board?
I am not. Because any cartoon that starts out with a dog jerking it to...
jerking it, right? Like, am I crazy?
Okay,
that dog...
Wait.
Oh, my God.
That's a great bit. Here's the thing. That is a really solid bit. There is a dog. I love this dog. A lot of the humor comes from this dog. But there is like a dog. They're flying into space, basically, since Ray refuses to start the show. They're flying into space because they've wreaked havoc on their homeland. And like, there's a bunch of pilgrims being like, we got to find a new planet. And there's a dog. And because now trees do not exist, this dog's version of porn, he unfurls a magazine like it's a Playboy, like it's the centerfold of an old Playboy for anyone who's old enough to remember that. And he holds it sideways like you did. And instead of a sexy lady on there, there's a tree, because dogs love pissing on trees. Dogs love nothing more than raising a leg and pissing on a tree, but
they
trees no
that.
Longer exist. So this is a solid bit.
I don't know that, trees no longer exist. That seems like you're reading.
No, their planet is dead and they are flying away to find another planet. And the planet that they land on has zero trees. And there are no trees in space. He's looking at this salaciously because trees don't exist anymore.
So that's still the problem is that he wants to fuck that tree, and that they're showing this horned dog, literal horned dog,
yeah,
children.
What is your so your problem is that you're a weird Puritan now?
Yeah, he's kink shaming Gina. That's all he's doing right now.
You don't like when they put adult content into cartoons, despite the fact that no kid would ever understand this.
Oh, are you telling me that a kid in 19—look, I was 4 years old in 1979, and I would have understood that joke. I'd have been like, dude, why is that dog whacking it?
Absolutely not.
I'm a Thanksgiving
special.
Also,
if you understood the joke, then it's not an offensive joke. I can't believe I'm the one arguing that they should put more porny stuff into kids' TV.
I can believe that. I 100% can believe that. And I think anybody who's ever heard the show would believe that as well.
There's two people who I believe would be advocating for that. And one is TV's Gina Ippolito, and the second is about to be our attorney general.
Here's the thing. I would expect this sort of weird behavior from Ray.
Mm-hmm. Why? What? Hold on.
Because he always has weird bad takes on things. Mm. But Chan, you of all people should be like, hell yeah, dog, jerk it to that centerfold tree.
You know what? I don't have a counterpoint, and yet I still refuse.
Yeah, no, that's
to be on your side.
Well, when this thing begins, we're treated to what I thought at first was a family trip or a vacation, realizing very soon after, like 1 second after I had that thought, no, this is the Oregon Trail in space. Yeah. Where people are traveling so they can build farmsteads on other planets.
There's like literally,
and already this thing is wild.
Doesn't the beginning say like they destroyed their planet and so they have to find a new one?
I don't remember that.
There's the song, and we can like
we got to hear every song, obviously.
Yeah, like the lyrics. Say they don't say anything about what happened to the planet, just that they're going. So this could well just be imperialism.
People just going. So I read the Wikipedia page, is what you're saying, and neither of you did.
Oh, of course not. Who are you talking to right now?
I read the wiki. It wasn't Wikipedia though. Anyway, song.
When the stars go down, I'll pack my frying pan and head for new horizons in search of farming land. We are the cosmic farmers in search of space to grow. Corn and squash and taters on the homestead of our own. So all across the galaxy, our farming land to find. Looking for a home on the other side of the mess we left behind.
Of the mess we left behind. You didn't take
it
that
could have been
to be
social or political.
Well, according to the Wikipedia, since I'm the only one that does my homework, I'm the Hermione of this group. The story revolves around farmers and aliens who try to get along after a serious ecological accident happens. Oh, that's,
you know what?
That's the
it
plot
wasn't
of this
in
episode.
The text. It wasn't in the text of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious when they say of the mess we left behind, what that means.
It could have meant that they ran out of paper towels and they spilled some fruit juice.
I mean, it could have meant that there were a Catholic priest and they were just relocated to another diocese.
That's how I read it. Mm. So they're Quakers in space. That's essentially it.
Yeah, yeah. You got the Amish beard. The wife has like
the plain
bonnet.
Clothes.
Yeah.
Pippi Longstockings is sort of a separate thing.
Longstockings with an S? She's got multiple stockings?
Oh, I don't know. Chance from the Midwest originally. Yeah. He pluralizes everything.
Look, all I know is she got red pigtails.
That's a true point. But that could also be an older version of Misty from Pokemon.
What?
Maybe the Pokemon created an ecological disaster on their old planet and they had to move on.
Honestly, that's probably what would happen if Pokemon were introduced into our ecosystem.
Yeah, it'd be real bad. It'd be like worse than billionaires. The disasters they would create.
The mess they left behind.
That would be the mess they left behind. This is why something. Okay, so they're going 55 miles per hour, and there's a delightful little gag in there about how they're losing the rest of the caravan because they're going too slow when some sort of intergalactic slug creature passes them. That was very funny to me.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I love this. When he's like, I'm already going like fast enough, and then he looks out the window, and there's just a little snail just slugging along faster than the man. I enjoyed that.
That was
a good bit.
Yeah.
If a snail the size of a starship were floating around in space, traveling indeed through space, we don't have any sort of benchmark as to how fast that entity, that organism goes. Obviously, it can exist in space.
Without a snail, Chan. Don't be a dick.
You know, just because it looks like a snail, again, we're in a completely different environment. I don't know if you've ever heard of context, Gina, but if you were floating around in the middle of space and a giant fuck off snail showed up out of the blue and was just like beep 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 beep, you know what, you're not gonna say, oh, that just must be a regular ass garden snail like this I have
is,
at home.
This is just you digging in your heels because you don't want to admit that this was a cute joke.
I mean, I am digging in my heels. They're very nice heels. I got them on Temu.
No, what's very funny to me about this is if 55 miles per hour in space is even slightly an acceptable time. I just did some math, so you know I was serious. And based on the fact that the moon from Earth, the moon, is 238,900 miles away, if you were to go 55 miles an hour from here to the moon, it would take you 6 months to get there if you drove all the way straight through. Now, these people are going to the deepest recesses of space. They will be dead before they get anywhere.
To be fair, their two speeds are 55 miles an hour and warp factor 8.
Warp factor 8.
Which is 8 times the speed of light. So what should have happened was what happened at the end of which
Last
one?
Jedi?
Last Jedi? Yeah, yeah. Where they just went and blasted through the planet of Laplot and destroyed it utterly.
I am shocked they survived, especially since we learned the planet is hollow.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Whoa, spoilers, man. Don't get too far.
Whoa, everybody. Now that I know, actually, now that I'm putting this together, that's a very bad plot point.
Now that you said that, that means we're done. You gave away the ending. That means we're done.
Yep, that's it. Go home, everybody. They immediately crashed into the planet because he's probably drunk.
Well, I thought about this, and at first I'm like, boy, they hit that planet really fast. Like, was it like right in front of them? And then I remembered they were going light speed times 8.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that planet could have been very far away and they still would have hit it just as quickly.
Don't let an Amish person do your astro navigation.
Yeah.
That's
it's just proof. Amish men can't drive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them.
They're pretty open-minded, though, when it comes to their daughter fucking an alien. So
okay, okay, you know what? Okay.
I, you know what? We can just go ahead and talk. No. Let's wait. Let's get to the plot point and whatnot.
Okay.
But I have feelings, and I don't know quite where they lie.
So, I need to I think
Chan's
that's
a bigot.
Thing.
This is the Chan is a bigot episode.
No, this is the thing. Gina absolutely loves this episode. I think me and Chan need to talk out our feelings before we come to a conclusion.
Listen, it's something. I'm not saying I would watch it every year. I'm not saying it's like Muppet Christmas Carol level of awesome. I'm just saying, like, I didn't hate it. I think that Chan picked it to punish us. And,
well, I know that.
And
I mean, I picked it because I was lazy and I was like, hey, that's at the top of this list. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm just saying I didn't hate it. I think that there are fun things. I think anytime we do a weirdo, the fact that it's in the 70s is weird. The fact that it's Canadian is weird. The people it stars is weird.
Also true.
Right.
And I like weird.
So, okay. So we meet aliens, and my note is here, and they're weird. So there you go. It all ties in.
Mm-hmm.
This entire alien civilization sort of lives in like one place, and their ruler is a king, and the name of the planet is Laugh-A-Lot, and the person who's king has to be the funniest person. I'm not making this up, people. He has to be the funniest person in the race. And then they do a bunch of cream pie gags. Mm-hmm. They're all little green men with little horns on the sides of their heads. And every single one of them sounds like one of those Jerry Lewis characters from one. Will the real Jerry Lewis please stand up? Except for the king, who is played by
Sid Caesar.
Motherfucking Caesar.
Comic Caesar. Legend. Caesar.
And Ma Spademinder, who's the female Amish person, is Catherine O'Hara.
No, the daughter is Catherine O'Hara.
No, that's Victoria, who's like a no-name person. It's the mother.
Oh.
Which is, yeah, because, I mean.
Place that like, either, but she's Canadian and of the right age.
Yeah, she's not. This is early in Catherine O'Hara's career.
Very early, yeah.
But it's not like she was like 10 years old at the time.
I just thought she was young and she was younger than that voice sounded.
She was 25 at the time, so you know, who knows,
good for her.
You know, I like to see people getting work.
I will tell you the biggest thing that stuck in my craw is this society, which felt like, because at first I was like, oh, is this a grasshopper and ant story, because like the Amish people are hardworking farmers and these people are lazy and they're, you know, the only thing they do is tell jokes.
No, this is an everything in moderation story. This is if you have a society that slacks off and just takes, and because they're so concerned with jokes, you're going to hollow out your planet. But if you have joyless Amish people, then you're going to have a daughter who fucks the first thing she sees when she lands on an alien planet.
Yeah, there is that. It's a bit of a muddled story.
The thing is, back in 1979, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when am I ever? environmental messages were a lot more basic than they are today, because the environment's much more complex as we understand it now, 50 some odd years later. Back then, it was just like, you know, trees are good.
Yeah, don't cut down all of them.
Don't cut down all the trees. Like, that's what you got, right? Like, it was very, very simple. Like, you know, hey, we noticed that we're very smoggy. We don't like that. How about good air? And they don't know how to get there. But like, that's the generalized messaging of that environmental of the time, right?
Yeah.
There was no recycling. I mean, you know, it's a whole different thing. Not that there's recycling now, don't get me wrong. But like, it's a whole different thing back then.
We just found out that this is a very simplified
environmental message. And then they laugh a lot. Aliens say, let's go check out these humans. Let's go get them.
Yeah. This is what would happen if you had a planet run by improvisers. It would,
oh my God. Yes.
It would fall into chaos.
Yeah, I can't argue that point. It feels dismissive, for us folks who moved to goddamn Los Angeles to pursue it as a career, but they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
I don't know if I agree with Gina 100%, because if there's a lot less sexual harassment than I would have expected.
I mean, we don't know who's a woman on this planet and who's not. Like, we're not sure what's going on. At some point, there's an angry crowd shot. Maybe they were angry because the king was fondling them.
That would be that king would have to work real hard.
Yeah. But that's how you get on the main stage. Am I right?
I feel like maybe also part of my issue is the fact that these were horrendously unfunny aliens. Like, their idea of a joke, they bring in the like the court jester. So, I mean, if you're the court jester in a town, in a planet full of comedians, I mean, you got to be good. And he just had like a little, I don't know, a joke about limp dicks or something.
I hate to be such a naysmith. I disagree. If you're the court jester on a planet of comedians, You need to be as not funny as possible to make the king next to you look that much funnier.
Yeah,
I think your job is to be scorned.
Yeah, if the leadership of the planet is given to the funniest, you can't be the funniest. Also, I would argue that a pie that size is hilarious.
No. The first one that the jester brings, he's got that long top hat.
It's
when he goes like,
and he lights it.
Splutes it out onto the
I think that's a safe joke so that you're not getting beheaded by the king.
But then the king replies like, well, this is gonna be funny, and he brings out a huge fuck off cream pie that he's about to crush this dude with.
Yeah, but like the logistics don't work. Like his contraption doesn't work.
Yeah.
So this joke falls extremely flat.
I mean,
not that it would have been great.
Yeah, it wasn't funny to begin with, and then it doesn't work. So how's this guy the goddamn king?
Listen, his mirror later tells him like, you've lost a step. So to me, this is like a Gallagher type guy who, like, the first time he smashed a watermelon, everyone's like, oh my God, this is the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen. The 100th time he smashed a watermelon, they're like, eh.
Well, I mean, that's definitely why the aliens are like, oh my God, these fucking Amish people are the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're used to this man's rule for so many years, and he's been doing the same bits. He's been working on his tight five for his entire reign.
Yep. Yep. He's one of those road dogs that only has 15 minutes of material and just does it for the next 30 years.
He's not a Mr. Ass though.
He's not what?
He's a road dog, but he's not a Mr. Ass. Maybe an X-Pac.
No. No.
Maybe a Triple H?
No, Ray. No.
A bit I did enjoy is the Instafarm. The fact that they bring a little box with them. And at first I thought it was going to be like a Gek from Fallout, where it was like something that terraforms like an area of the planet. It's not. It's weirder than that.
I would just like to point out that this is like the third or fourth thing that you've said you enjoyed. And we're like 3 minutes into this episode.
Gina,
so.
I said I had to unpack this. Please allow me to take my journey.
Like an Instafarm.
And they do a bit that this bit was amazing to me, where you press the button and then it pops up this giant farmhouse and all these plots of land. And then they can just start planting right away. And the shit grows immediately, which, again, now that I know more about the planet, I don't understand how anything's growing there at all. But okay,
nothing's growing vegetables at that point.
Nothing is growing. Yeah.
Okay, so the king comes over and they like introduce themselves. His name is Scoochie the King, but later I swear to God he says Gucci the King.
It is so King Gucci.
I heard Scoochie at first. It was very confusing.
Yeah, King
to me.
Gucci.
King
the,
Gucci.
The Wikipedia would help you out with this.
I'm not interested in other people's opinions, Gina. I only am here to bring my own.
Scoochie it is.
Scoochie the King. They do a wonderful, wonderful bit where he says, this is where we're going to set up our farm. And King Scoochie says, no, this is my land. You cannot put your farm here, but I'll show you where you can. And he's like, oh, all right. He presses the button on the top of the thing, and it comes back into a box again of the Instafarm. And the king just moves it like 2 inches to the right and goes, all right, right there's good for you.
Yeah.
And I howled.
Yeah.
I howled with joy when that happened.
It's another good bit.
Loved this bit.
I feel a little bit like not funny enough, where I'm just rolling my eyes like, Jesus Christ, this is.
No, they had me going with that one. I thought they were going to go to like some other location that was like going to be a big reveal or a setup of some kind. Mm-hmm. No. They did a bit. It's a planet of improvisers. It's all bits. Mm-hmm. It's all bits. Oh, I kind of miss those days. Not going to lie. Everything is better now, but I miss those days. Is that weird? Like, life is demonstrably better now. Life was terrible back then, but we had fun.
Ain't nobody going to back you up on this.
Wait a minute. Literally, all of our lives are better now than they were back then. What do you mean?
That is true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I still kind of miss those days. Do you guys not?
I think that's where you
lose. Mean, I can still do those days and still do those
that's
days.
True. You still do Sketch Cram, don't you?
I don't miss shit. No, I don't do Sketch Cram anymore, but
Oh, you don't?
No, I stepped down from directing like a year ago because I got too busy. But okay. I still do other stuff. So
yeah,
I'm not.
But you're not like the 22-year-old still hanging out in the high school parking lot.
I mean, one thing I love about those improv boys. Oh
boy. Here comes Gina's famous Matthew McConaughey impression known the world over.
Oh no. Oh no.
Am I the king now because I made a joke?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Oh no. I mean, we all knew the king wasn't going to be me. So let's just start there.
Yeah, that's true.
Y'all could disagree with me on that, for God's sakes.
My name is Scoochie, and I'm the king of Laugh-A-Lot. Son of Eric the Whoopee Cushion, cousin of Terrence the Terrible and Terrence the Tickler.
Did he not say Scoochie there? Am I crazy?
No, he said, my name is Gucci.
He said, my name is Gucci. As clear as
a... Can I hear it one more time? Because I swear to God, I would like to hear that again, please. Christ.
And my name is Scoochie.
It could not be clearer, sir.
My name is Scoochie. Like, you're not hearing that?
And my name is Gucci.
Maybe it's a Sid Caesar thing.
My name is Gucci. 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 Gucci.
If you cut it to just there, yes.
And I'm the king of Laugh-A-Lot.
All right. No. People at home, you hear what I'm hearing, I hope.
No, they're not.
Nobody's hearing what I'm hearing. Okay. So the king's kid is an alien who does not think life should only be about comedy and fun and games, which I kind of love this character in this setting. Because so many kids want to rebel against whatever it is that their parents do. And this is an obvious extrapolation of that vibe. So the idea that he wants to be like an accountant is kind of great.
He didn't say anything about wanting to be an accountant.
Well, you know, he wanted to be boring. Because he's boring. Yeah, sure. He's not funny.
Yeah. Yeah. This is South Park did a similar bit years later. But this one did it weirder and in the 70s and in Canada. So I like it.
I like that too.
Like backwards and in heels.
Yep. There's a musical number right here because there are a few musical numbers in this. I'd love to hear some of it and hear your opinion on banger worthy.
It is. I mean, unless you're talking about, not funny enough, cause his whole thing is, trying to bang her, I don't think it's a banger.
There's something I've kept a secret, 'cause I didn't know how it would sound. But everyone sees their chances, now my chances are all around.
I'm not the king of the straight and narrow, but now I can see the light is warm. And to be the best, you've got to take a deep breath and take a step to the other side. And I'm looking for something better.
Yeah, okay. This is definitively not a banger.
I enjoy it. It's a smooth listening, smooth jazz listening banger.
This is a John Tesh-esque smooth listening.
If this was playing in an elevator, you wouldn't be like, hell yeah.
If this was playing in an elevator, I would straight up not notice it. That's quite honest.
This feels super 70s. That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
It's just like our smooth 70s R&B, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You either like it or you don't, depending on how old you are, basically.
Now it's something that would have been rotated out of the supermarket music list about 25 years ago.
When you get caught between the noon and New York City.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know it's crazy.
Toto's Africa replaced this while I'm shopping for
Chan,
frozen peas.
Chan singing the exact right thing. The moon
and, Christopher New Cross, York man. City.
Yeah,
you know,
Christopher Cross, man. Jump.
It makes you want to jump. Oh my God, the Mac me. Dad will make you jump.
Ugh, can someone
the Daddy Mac will make you
can
jump,
one of our fans
jump.
Mail me some Anthrax, please?
I mean, I got a couple tapes. I got Among the Living, City Euphoria.
Gina, it's not going to stop.
I mean, once I start piling on, then it's over.
It's over. Run a commercial, please. We'll see if that happens. All right. Okay. So they're out. They're visiting the food mines. And this is not great. This is not a great setup. They literally have minds that just burrow into the earth and create hunks of chow, for lack of a better term. There's no flavor to it. It's just nourishment. It's not very good. They, and in my brain, it's like, oh, okay. So where we're going with this is that the Amish people are going to teach them how to grow vegetables. They're going to learn culinary arts, and like everybody's going to improve as a direct result of them crashing on the planet. Which, did we mention the fact that they crashed a planet to like a pancake of their ship and everybody just walked out no problem? Did we even mention that? Because that's what happened.
They're made of hardier stuff.
You know what? I can't fight that.
They have a manifest destiny, so they're not going to die. Yeah.
You know, all of these things are great. And it turns out, at first I was a little bit confused. It seemed like this was a date. Then it seemed like, oh, he's just legitimately like showing the new girl around town. And then there's like smoochy kissing at the end. So, you know, incels get confused for exactly these reasons.
I mean, he asks her out and she says yes.
Yeah, this was clearly a date. Yeah. There was no.
Can I show you around as the new girl in town is a date?
In the 70s, it was.
But not in the 2000s, and that was my problem.
I would go back and find the line, but no, he deliberately said.
He doesn't say, "Will you go on a date with me?"
No, but they didn't say that in the 70s, Ray.
That's why there was so many problems.
Can I take Victoria out and show her around?
Take her out, and he's asking permission. This is obviously a date, dog.
That could have been a mob hit.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
H-I-T-S-T-I-L-A. And an amplifier too. But you don't need drums to make these sounds. It's true.
G.I. Joe.
Look, they both want to boogie down productions.
No, they clearly want to do some hard banging in that food preparation area, for sure.
Yeah, why not?
But like anyway, the date's week, over. Man. Date's over. We cut back to Sid Caesar the King. Sloppy, whatever his name is. And he sleeps on a bed made of two, like, porcelain hands. And I question what this even is at this point.
Yeah, at first I was like, is he on a couch or something? Like, why isn't he sleeping in a bed?
You don't know alien physiology.
They seem pretty human, like 90% human.
Pretty humanoid, yeah. Would you sleep in a bed like that? Like just two cupped hands?
Why wouldn't sleep in a bed like that?
I would sleep in whatever bed I fucking want to.
Fair enough. Is a two-hander something that you would want to?
Jesus Christ.
Depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
But, hey, you know what? He's probably got a dozen beds. He's the goddamn king.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing about this episode is there's probably like a dozen lines we could have just walked off on and been happy. And that was one of them, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
But unfortunately, when we get to the end, we're not going to have a walk-off line. That's what's going to be so upsetting.
Yeah, that's a real bummer.
I can predict it. I can predict the future. He goes to the mirror on the wall like he's in Snow White suddenly. And he's like, this who's the funniest, mirror on the wall, who's the funniest of them all?
This is a good bit because immediately recognizes what this is, where she asks, who's the fairest of them all?
Sure.
And instead he's saying, who's the funniest of them all? And it's a good bit.
I don't know that it's a good bit.
I feel like
this was a German who had fled Germany. Anytime. Could have been anytime. Maybe like early to mid 40s and found a job somewhere where they don't ask too many questions about his past. I don't understand why.
You're washed up. I'd rather be the farmer's bathroom mirror than your oracle.
Why does he have a German accent?
Accent he wants. He's a magical mirror.
Can I be real? That sounded more Austrian to me. Not that there's a huge difference.
It did sound a little Austrian, but I was like, this is too early to be a Schwarzenegger.
It can't be. Well, no, it could be. I don't know. Schwarzenegger was a thing, but not a thing yet, was he?
No. I mean, he was only a bodybuilder at this point. He had only done that Hercules in New York, I think, by this point.
Yeah, I'm looking it up because now I have to know.
Now you're going to go to Wikipedia?
No, I'm going to go to IMDb. I don't use Wikipedia.
Jesus Christ.
What is this? Who would win show navigation? What are we talking about here?
This is where he finds out that indeed the farmers are funnier than he is, and he gets a little, concerned for his well-being.
I mean, he's screwed because the farmers are unintentionally funnier than he is. Like, they're not trying to be funny. So he can't recreate this.
Nope.
This is like every digital job I had in like fucking 2005, where a producer would come in and say, let's write something that goes viral.
Oh God. That hurts my soul. Yeah, he didn't do Conan the Barbarian until 82. So yeah, this is a little before that would happen. But I did just find out, uncredited, he was the announcer in the epic rap battles of history, Terminator versus RoboCop episode. Which, if that's true, that's dynamite.
Uh-huh.
I have to listen to it again. That's a great, I've watched that series in a long time. It's wonderful. Anyway, they don't make them anymore. One a year. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, this mirror on the wall says that the king is says that he himself is the funniest, and then says, just kidding. You're obviously the funniest. Just kidding again. You are washed up, you piece of shit. The farmers are much funnier than you. And this is the part I'm having trouble with the unpacking of. And Gina, maybe you can help me with this, is they love, the people of this world, these comedians, these improvisers, love just sitting around watching the farmers toil in their quote-unquote fields, and they find this to be the most hilarious thing they've ever seen, but all they're doing is, like, digging up dirt and, like, hammering in signposts.
Yeah, because...
doing anything.
No, they've never seen this before, and they're working hard. They're looking at hard work for the first time ever.
Okay.
And
which
so,
is why I thought like grasshopper and ant.
Yeah, sure. Like it's just something they've never seen before, when every moment of your life is a straightforward joke with a punchline. When you see something mundane and unfamiliar, that's what's going to be funny.
So what I see in this is, this is actually years before it was ever a thing, railing against universal basic income. Because when people's needs are all met, they don't work hard anymore.
Okay, real talk. That is part of the reason why I felt uncomfortable with it. Because, like, I feel like if indeed there were a treatise to be made about universal basic income, the planet would be full of philosophers rather than comedians. But still, it felt, on the one hand, like... the arts are not worthwhile, and also that we must adhere to a Puritan work ethic. Otherwise, we're not going to get into heaven.
No, that is absolutely not the message, because there are people doing the hard work and they shouldn't be doing the hard work because they never get to rest. The message is everyone needs to do their fucking share.
So this is communism.
I mean, it kind of is. Because
the thing is that I want to explain to these universal basic income opponents, not that I'm still figuring it out myself, to be fair, but there will be just as many poets as there are MMA fighters. You're still going to get the shit you want.
They're not.
There will be people who compete in blood sports all the same.
This is an argument against slavery. Like once we meet the bugs and realize, oh, these comedians who never thought for a second about where their shit was coming from is coming as these poor bugs furiously work. And that's why at the end, it's like, hey, man, they get to finally rest. And then they start to joke around a little bit.
But these bugs are not slaves. Like, they just literally are the only people left who understand the planet's about to blow up.
Here's the thing. I thought that, but now I kind of think that maybe Gina's right.
Thank you.
Interesting.
It's like the Chinese children who are putting together your iPhones.
Yeah. You know,
the fact that it's out of sight makes it out of mind, but it still has repercussions in the world.
Interesting. Okay. Well, here's the deal. I'm happy to hear this perspective.
I think it demands it. This 45-year-old cartoon needs to be raked over the coals of a Marxist perspective.
Are we done? Is this the end?
We're at that halfway point.
Nope. We're done in 5 minutes, according to my clock.
I mean, wow. I did get my Marxist treaties in, so like, I don't care at this point.
Well, here's the go. So let's get to the meat of it before Gina just leaves us outright. Because the king tries to put on a show in front of the farmers, but he's not funny, and they do not like him. Yeah.
They make Spade Miner the GD king.
They just immediately decide Spade Miner is the king, which causes which causes the king to go into a literal violent tantrum, a literal murderous rage. He grabs a sledgehammer and takes a swing and cracks the planet open, which turns out to be like an Easter bunny that you buy from the 99-cent store, because there is nothing inside of it.
I like the word we just podcast through an earthquake, because we're that chill.
Was there an earthquake?
Not either that,
or I had a minor stroke.
Oh boy!
I mean, you work hard, Gina. I would not.
You guys, Tori Amos prepared us for this.
Why? Because we're under the pink now.
No, it's little earthquakes. Anyway,
you think I don't know that?
But you acted like you didn't know it. I feel like I need to educate you
on
Tori Amos.
He was doing a bit.
I think I never thought would happen.
God, you're worse than this king.
you are indeed the King Gooch of the situation.
King Scoochie?
Nope, I heard King Gooch.
So the kids fall down this sinkhole, okay?
Yeah, what the fuck is that? Like, he flips out and then grabs the hammer, then hits the ground with it. Like, he didn't threaten the farmer.
He did, but the first shot is never at the person you want to hit, Chan. The abusive guy always punches the wall first. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's like, he sees them doing farming and says, oh, this must be why people are laughing. So he does farming, but funny, which is to slam a hammer into the ground. And then, of course, unexpected things result, but
I don't know anybody.
We got four minutes left. Are we going to debate
this murderous and considers him funny again?
We're absolutely going to continue to debate this.
I'm pulling the plug in 4 minutes. So
Gina will be with us as long as Gina chooses to be with us. We may have to do her exit interview. No, what exit? That's not the word I mean.
But by all means, keep trying to figure out a word when we have 4 minutes left.
The kids fall down the hole with Cromwell the dog. Did we even mention that the dog's name is Cromwell?
I love this dog.
Their food scraping everything. The planet's falling apart, and this is where we get to the meat of the episode. First off, the king says we need a search party for the kids, and the aliens are all into bits, so they just start up a legitimate party with dancing and music and confetti. Very funny. Funny. And this is where our hero, the kids, meet a buff insect man who I guess is an ant. He's an insect of some kind.
He's a flea.
Yeah,
and I don't know why.
He's an alien flea thing.
Yeah. Do not understand how that works as a metaphor or as xenobiology, but...
Well, Chan, let's spend the next 4 minutes talking about it.
There's also a good bit here, another good bit, where the dog is like furiously searching for the girl, and Cromwell is like not a soft and fluffy dog. He's sort of a badass dog, but he's furiously looking for Pippi Longstocking, and she finds him, and she's like, "We've been looking for you." And he hugs her leg, and then when he realizes that he's showing too much emotion, he steps back and shakes her hand.
Very funny.
It's a very funny bit.
I like that. Well, the ants, the fleas, the alien insects have to prop up the planet before it caves in. So they are literally sewing the planet, the hollow ass planet, together to stop it from like going full something that happens in a Dragon Ball Z episode. And this leads us to our next song, which I swear to God was sung by Fat Albert.
I looked up the name because I was like, oh, perhaps this was like a famous musician of the 70s. No, he was just a Canadian voice actor.
Yeah, that makes sense. But let's hear some of it.
You're in trouble now. You're in trouble now. You're standing on some shaky ground. Cause those folks upstairs drilling holes don't care. If you don't shore it up, then you won't be around. We've got to build it up.
Hell yeah.
Build it up.
All right, look, this song is terrible.
No, this song is great. I was singing Gambit Up to Gambit, my cat, and he enjoyed it. Now he just woke up from a nap when he heard his name, so he expects food.
Gina, that's an instant respect point. Once I find out somebody sings every song they've ever heard but inserts the name of their pets into it,
I gain amazing
respect for that person.
You're gonna gambit up. You're a little cat, but now you got a hat. You're gonna gambit up.
Did you put an actual hat on Gambit?
I need to know whether this is some sort of fraud perpetrated by Eugenia, or you have actually put clothes on your cat.
I could.
Lies. You're full of lies.
You have all those hidden things under your bed, and none of them are cat clothes. I'm very upset.
I have hidden things under my bed.
Oh, I just remember you said there was a lot of cat things that get slapped under your bed.
That's true. I went
to go feed them when you were out of town.
A little safari hat that I could put on him.
Okay, well, here's the deal. You can't leave the show until you go do that.
Well, I just did it. Bye.
I set myself up for that one. Oh my goodness! All right, so this I just wrote here. This cartoon is unique. instant farm growth immediately starts happening. Do we know why exactly?
Alien stuff.
Because it's fertile ground. It's like it's a very fertile planet.
The same science that built that barn, I guess.
Well, at first I was like, was it the alien tears that did it? Because they're crying so much that they water the farm and then all the plants come up immediately. Then I'm like, this is like fucking Idiocracy. If you put electrolytes into the soil, they're not going to grow. But I guess it did. And then it becomes a thing. And then we just like scuttle to the exposition ending.
Right before we get there, it doesn't make any sense. Yes. But there's one more point. Yeah. Because they carrots that are like 10 feet tall start popping into the ground, like immediately appear, and they start pulling them out, and the missing children, who near as I could tell are closer to the core of the earth than the surface,
are
on the bottom of the carrots
and
get pulled out in but I don't
make sense to me.
I can't, my brain, I don't know.
Gambit up. Gonna gambit up.
And then somehow we transition from that
to...
Well, I'm sure you can guess the rest of the story.
No!
I legitimately absolutely cannot, not, sir.
I can.
What the fuck?
None of this follows as a logical progression.
It's Thanksgiving, y'all.
It is Thanksgiving, so they
I forgot this Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah,
well, that's why you couldn't guess the end of the episode.
That's the very end. They just like slotted in. Oh yeah, then everybody had a big feast.
They had Thanksgiving on this planet with vegetables and what was left, I assume, of the chow. I don't know. It turns out this is the most fertile planet around, but it's been hollowed out. The bugs can finally rest. The two kids are gonna bang hard and then get on a spaceship out of town. And then we're just done. This thing wraps up so fast and not well.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and then like the fleas end up on the dog.
What was that?
It didn't make sense that they would design these creatures, because they only call them the bug in the credits. So like, it's not like they don't need to be fleas specifically, unless you're doing it for that joke. But if you're doing it for that joke, like, establish a reason for them to.
Drives me crazy.
All
bugs are fleas.
Planet for comedians. So
in the 70s.
They do some real shit jokes.
Well, Chan, you've hung around comedians.
I mean, yeah, it's a paycheck, so whatever.
Anyway, that is our episode. Gina's gone. Is Gina still here? Is Gina gone?
Gina's here. She's just not responding to us.
Story of my
but
life.
That still doesn't mean she's, yeah, okay. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Even when she's here.
Very normal.
So that is the Thanksgiving, the first of, I'm sure, many, maybe not given the date we recorded this, Thanksgiving Day episodes of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, the intergalactic Thanksgiving. Chan, I am happy you brought this into our lives.
It was, I mean, here's the thing, like, even if it's going to be an absolutely terrible cartoon, there is an experience, and we will walk away with a fuller understanding of the world that we live in.
It's true. I'm I never considered myself an animation historian, but by the time we're done with this show in 19 or 20 years, I feel like I'll be able to say that comfortably.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gina, anything you want to plug right now?
Nope.
Chan, anything you want to plug right now? Because I got a lot.
Chan, there better be something you unplug right now.
Yeah, okay, I'm good.
Oh, no.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.